रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. अयोध्या कांड चैप्टर नंबर 7 मंथरा द प्लॉटर. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. None knew where she came from, nor of whom. She came along with the queen Kaikeyi when she rode into the happy Ayodhya as the fond bride of the aged Dasharatha. She stood like a bird of evil omen in the balcony of the moon-white mansion of Kaikeyi and cast an idle glance on the busy town below her. The roads were neatly swept, well-watered and gaily decked. Bright flags and proud bannerets crowned the houses. The city walls had been pierced with the fresh gates for the easy passage of the joyful crowds that would throng the town to partake of the festivities. The people were fresh from their baths, clean-looking and cheerful. Rama's palace gates were crowded with brahmanas chanting holy hymns with their humble tribute of garlands and sweets to their beloved prince. Strains of sweet music rose from every quarter. Groups of happy men and women filled the street with their bright presence and brighter talk. Even the horses and elephants, cows and bulls rejoined loudly in expectation of the happy event. The lofty gates of holy shrines glittered white in the soft moonlight, and Manthara of dark heart marveled much at the sight. She turned to a girl that stood near, clad in spotless white, gazing with open-eyed amaze and pleasure at the lovely scenes that presented themselves to her view. "Friend, can you tell me why Kaushalya is so free and lavish with her gold? She was known to be close-fisted and greedy with wealth. What mean these gay and happy crowds? What wonderful pageant, what new surprise has our king for us?" The maid was glad to get someone with whom she could share her overwhelming joy and replied, "King Dasharatha has decided to seat our beloved Rama on the royal throne, and that even tomorrow when the star Pushya rules the day, and it is no wonder that the people are beside themselves with joy, for none deserve it more than Rama of sweet patience and spotless purity, whom the mighty gods have crowned with rare perfections." The words roused black envy in the heart of the hunchback, and down from the terrace, lofty as Kailasa's peak, she sped on the wings of haste to where Kaikeyi slept. Wicked thoughts seethed in her brain while her heart was aflame with wrath. "Sleep you, foolish one! Awake, arise, for dread peril draws near you. Why see you not the dark clouds of misfortune right over your head? You brag of your rare beauty and good fortune that have made you the heart's delight of your royal husband. But too well I know that you have no place in his affections. His favor and your happy days are even now drawing to an end, like a mountain torrent drained by summer's fierce heat." These cruel words from the enraged heart of a handmaid, whose fond interest masked her evil wiles, cut to the heart of the lovely queen. She gazed at Manthara in curious amaze and said, "What? This from you? I fear some unseen evil has clouded your heart and brain. Your wan face argues a suffering heart. Speak free, and it will go hard with me if I do not bring joy and solace back to you." But the kindly words of Kaikeyi added fuel to the flame of wrath that burnt in the heart of the scheming Manthara. Her mistress cared not even to acquaint herself with the news of Rama's coronation, with which the capital was ringing from end to end. Most eloquent for evil, she addressed herself to her diabolical task. She would make the very name of Rama hateful in the eyes of Kaikeyi. She would wring her heart with grief for her son, despoiled of his lawful crown. She would see that she had no safer watcher of her interests. "Lady, know you not as yet that the foolish king will crown Rama as a ruler of this vast empire, and at a few hours hence? I know not what greater evil can befall you, and it is hopeless to prevent it. You are the idol of my heart. My soul is plunged in the lowest depths of black sorrow. I suffer the tortures of the damned, a prey to consuming flames. I flew to you on the wings of speed to save you from your fate, if possible. I live or die with you. My hopes and fears are bound up with yours. Daughter of a mighty king, wedded to a mightier monarch, yet how blind to cruel laws that guide the acts of men. You are a sweet and gentle dove ensnared by a cruel and cunning vulture. Your husband is a rogue in grain, veneered with sanctimonious hypocrisy. His honeyed words conceal a cruel and remorseless heart. You see not that he has taken base advantage of your pure and guileless heart. He has cozened you with sweet talk of undying love and eternal fidelity, while his soul has been all the while busy plotting your ruin. And now he has thrown off the mask and showers wealth and honor on his favorite queen Kaushalya and her son. Ah, my queen, whose eyes fond love and foolish trust have blinded to the coming evil. Am I to believe that you see not even now the black perfidy of yon smooth-tongued deceiver? He has cunningly managed to keep your son Bharata far away and means to profit by his absence to give the crown to Rama ere the coming day draws to a close. Well, can he do that and safely, in that there is none to stay him or say nay? Your husband, but in name, truth would call him your most relentless foe. Avoid him, now at least, as you would the bringer of death. A headless girl thou, and all innocent, who clasps the glittering snake to her fond breast and fondles its cruel fangs, see not in it the fleet messenger of death. So have you placed your confiding soul in the keeping of your mortal enemy, who to you is the kindest and best of husbands. But even you will be convinced ere long that Dasharatha will work cruel woe unto you and your son, deadly by far than the serpent stood enraged, more pitiless than your insulted foe. Ah, gentle heart that was made for a life of happiness and pleasure, Dasharatha, that hoary sinner, has deluded you with soft and smooth phrases of love and devotion, only to crown Rama as king over this fair realm and send you, your son, your kith and kin, to eternal perdition. Beware ere it is too late, wake to your peril. Now at least, repose not in fancied security, but put forth the might of your wondrous beauty and womanly wiles to enslay the heart of the foul deceiver, and save from the brink of ruin your Bharata, yourself, and me. Kaikeyi, who lay stretched at her ease, heard her out with a smile of amused pity. But the news of Rama's coronation thrilled her with unbounded joy. Her face reflected her heart, even as the beauteous autumn moon. She rose in joyous haste and glad surprise, for her earnest prayers and long-cherished hopes had borne fruit. She could not even dream of a greater good fortune to herself and Bharata. She threw a priceless necklace of flashing gems round the hunchback's neck, as an earnest of her delight for the glad tidings she brought, and said, "None can rejoice more at Rama's coronation than I, his mother, for Rama and Bharata are twin blossoms that grow from my heart. These are the sweetest words I have ever heard till now, and I cannot reward you enough, the welcome bringer thereof. Ask what you will of me, for it is yours." Kaikeyi's innocent happiness and ready welcome had made the wicked mantra more determined in her purpose of evil. Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapti Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.